My parents were married young, at the age of 20. They seemed like they were on their way to a perfect life. My mom, relatively rare for somebody born in 1930, went to Stanford University, got a college degree, helped to put my father through graduate school at Harvard, where she went up to Massachusetts, and she worked hard as a public school teacher, putting him through grad school. Then they went back to Stanford, where my dad had played football, and a very charismatic guy, and he got tenured at a very young age, the age of 31. But as happens a lot in families, things went wrong, and my parents went through a really bad split. A really bad divorce, when divorce was much less common, when I was 4 years old. And I have some tough memories from that time. And I remember my mom getting dumped like a hot potato by people she thought were her friends. And that's one reason why I reach out to people who are going through hard times. And I say, when times are down, that's when good people stand by you the firmest and are there with you, because life shouldn't be led alone. Real friends know how to stand with people in times of need. And I remember weird things. People love to rib me about how much I love food, right? I remember getting evicted because we didn't have much in the way of food in our house. We had powdered milk. I don't know how many of you have had powdered milk, right? It certainly wasn't for the taste, baby. It was for the cost, right? And we didn't eat meat, not because we were early stage vegans, but because of the cost, right? And I remember getting evicted from a neighbor's house, right? I mean, I'm like wolfing down Oreos and stuff, and it's like, you eat too much, you gotta leave our house. You gotta stop coming over here to eat so much. I have memories like that. But the iconic story for me was of a hardworking woman who is playing by the rules, getting shafted by a powerful institution. My mom gets a call shortly after she starts to file for divorce, already getting dumped by friends. California is already becoming a place of bright sunshine, but deep sadness for us. She gets a call, it's faculty administration at Stanford, and they say, you gotta leave your house. And she's like, what are you talking about? We own our house. And they say, well, actually that's faculty housing, you own the house. In fact, her cousin designed the house, but you don't own the land below it. That's for faculty, you're no longer a faculty spouse, you gotta leave. She said, well, technically, we're still married. We're just separated. It took like 3 years to get a divorce back then in the mid-60s in California. And they said, well, we're counting you as divorced. You got to leave. And she said, well, technically, I'm on faculty. I'm a teacher's assistant. And they said, oh. They hung up. They called her back the next day, and they said, you've been fired. Now leave your house. I'll tell you something. With the help of a union and a good lawyer, my mom fought for 3.5 years. And she switched, she got her PhD, and she wanted to get the heck out of California. And she was gonna go back to her home state of New York, and she got a call from a guy at a school that was then called Drexel Institute of Technology, who had been through his own rough times because he was openly gay in the 1950s. And he had been kicked out of a lot of places, and my mom had stood by him, and he said, I'd love to have you as a colleague. I'd love to have you move here. You gotta check it out. She was a real culture vulture, and he talked about all that. But he said, the most important thing is you can be 15 minutes from campus and you can have your sons go to one of the best public school systems in the country. And my mom came here, and she, right down the road, right here in Montgomery County, she found an inexpensive home in a great school district. And that was the beginning of life getting better for me. We moved. The magic of seasons. I'd never seen leaves change color. Fall for me still feels like the birthplace of opportunity. I come here and I remember what happened. And I remember how two cool features about my mom. She was dogged, she worked harder than anybody I know. Back, those of us who are this old and don't remember computers, I remember the IBM Selectric as the lullaby at midnight, 1 a.m, my mom's still working away. And she had a deep, deep faith in education. And what's amazing for me is that my older brother and I always believed, no matter what, if we studied hard and worked hard, we could pursue any dream successfully that we wanted. And it didn't matter that we didn't have much money. And a core personal reason for me embracing this race is because I know that's not true now for an awful lot of kids across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And we gotta change that. I was very lucky. I was able to go to Lower Merion High School. I was able to get a lot of financial aid. I was able to go on to Harvard, where I studied economics and history. I was able to work on Capitol Hill. I was able to become a chief of staff and a budget analyst. I was able to go on to the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School. I was able to run a bipartisan think tank that was co-founded by these two people who were like annoyingly good-looking and annoyingly smart, Republican John Hines and Democrat Al Gore, who looked like Christopher Reeves back in the day. It's like, geez, these guys are so, I remember them talking about when each of them was looking at running for president, right? But they had this silly, almost antiquated idea that you could set aside partisanship and you could get together in a convivial environment to talk about long-term emerging policy challenges. And they got us looking at demographic trends and emerging technologies. And I was also lucky to get mentored by a member of Congress named Norm Mineta, an American of Japanese ancestry, who was interned, and let's use the impolite word for that, put in prison purely because of his ethnic background when he was 10 years old. And he later went on to be a mayor of San Jose, a birthplace of the right kind of venture capitalism, not the wrong kind that Mitt Romney represents in my view. And he got me inspired on a lot of fronts. He said there's no ideological way to fill a pothole. He said it's important to learn how to disagree without being disagreeable. It's important to know how to reach out to people and to listen to both sides of an issue. And there are certain things that you fight for. And those are civil rights. And one of the reasons we call them rights is they don't always need a majority to be for them. Just like the right to vote. Even if it polls well to say you got to bring a picture and a license, just because it polls well doesn't make it right. And we need a governor who knows how to stand up and say, it ain't right, not on my watch. Because you defend rights, you do not attack rights. So I had this really cool life, and I was able to go on, and I was able to say, you know what, I want to go home, I want to go back to Pennsylvania, and I want to help to create jobs. And you know what, my mom took me aside and said, I'm a little worried that you're going to make your life too much about money. She literally said, earthworms can copulate and consume. That's not worth that much. And I'm like, let's not undervalue copulation and consumption, Mom, right? Remember, But I said, listen, I do believe the innovation and what's going on, we can create a lot of jobs, but also if I become financially independent, I will return to full-time public service. So to a certain extent, I have a mandate. I'm just doing what I told my mom I would do.